Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 9, Number 1. That's right, this is Volume 9. We're going into our ninth year with SNU, and that is absolutely amazing because going back in time, I do remember the very first one that kicked it off and started the ball rolling with Dr. Michael Colgan, and of course, we're going to be featuring him, as we always do, later on this year. In the last edition of SNU, I examined the amazing health benefits of apitherapy. You know, eating honey and pollen is a great habit to fall into. Using propolis as a healing agent for wounds or to treat infection is reliable, and it's fantastic, and it's really something that you can bite your teeth into and rely on. That's very important with natural remedies. So if you know somebody with a chronic infection, or if you've got a wound that's not healing, you've got to experiment with this propolis, either as a salve or as an extract. It's really quite incredible, and I really like it. We learned that bee venom can be made into a homeopathic injection, and then once diluted and succussed, which means that it's shaken to increase the vibrational energy, it can be now used to treat a variety of autoimmune conditions where no medication exists to treat those conditions, especially the cause. And of course, we know that no medication does treat the cause because nobody is deficient of the medication that they're promoting for treating the disease. Ultimately, disease has a root attached to lifestyle and microbes or something that disturbed the environment. And so what we've got to do is to get back on track. We've got to reach out towards homeostasis and find balance once again. We examine the lifestyle. This is what we do in Ayurvedic medicine. You examine the lifestyle like a teeter-totter, and you can see, whoa, I'm way out of balance. I'm way too high and then too low on the other side. So remember that the celebration of life and true health is found in the middle, not on the extreme. Going into the extreme can be fun, but if you live in the extreme for a long period of time, it's definitely going to catch up with you, and you will suffer the consequences. So let's find the middle path and spend most of our time in the zone of optimum health. Now, in terms of natural and what that word really means, you can't take it to a higher level than with raw honey or fresh bee pollen. I mean, these superfoods are some of the highest vibrational foods known on the planet, and they're not processed. If you get honeycomb or fresh pollen out of the hive, there's no processing of any kind done. I mean, that's right from nature, and ultimately it came from flowers. Super high vibrational foods, the nectar, the essence of pure nourishment. So you can see why I'm big on this stuff. Eating them is definitely an advantage, and what I like is that there is scientific evidence to warrant their inclusion. So it's just not an old wives' tale, although some of those wives' tales are, in the end, proven out by science. At the time when no science exists, there's a lot of scoffing, a lot of ridicule, a lot of opposition, simply because often the money that is used for scientific investigation today is almost always corrupted by an incentive to market the end result. So the concept of gathering funds to validate, say, the effects of vitamin C on cancer, somebody has to cough it up. And big drug companies are not going to put money into the investigation of, say, why honey is so beneficial to consume, because ultimately they can't control it. They can't patent it. The company wants to be the only one that can sell and distribute the product that they prove, usually erroneously and out of context, has any value in the first place. So I really like the fact that honey can't spoil. First, to me, that means it's better than gold. And second, it's nice to know that there is something in this world that can't spoil. I mean, when you think of it, almost everything out there on this planet isn't really what you thought it was, or ultimately it doesn't meet our expectations. So that creates disappointment. When you want something and the expectation isn't met, you kind of start to get used to that. You feel that in business, you feel that in relationships, you feel that as a consumer. So it's really nice to have your expectations met, and mine are always met in the gym, in excellent nutrition, and in something like honey. We get it raw, unspoiled, and know that it will never spoil, and therefore we're going to derive enormous benefit. Now, it's 2010, a very powerful year. This is definitely a year of power. And I even like saying 2010. It sounds strong. Now, you can say 2010, but I like 2010. That sounds really good. Now, this year is going to be monumental for many of you listening right now. 2010 will commence a tremendous sense of empowerment within you and lead you to a great motivational place for change in your life in the right direction. So to celebrate this change, this move in the right direction, this new year of strength and power, and to embrace a future of inevitable change, that's right, we must embrace change. Don't run away from it. Don't hide from it. You have to run towards it. There's a great piece in Aliens 3 where the guy realizes he's stuck in this chamber with the alien, and instead of running away, he charges it, knowing he's going to die. But what a way to face reality. Let's embrace change and not run away. Let's be courageous and not cowards. Let's really understand that nothing stays the same, everything changes, and that's the only constant in life, is that everything is going to change. And that's why we're going to talk about qi, and specifically life and health and pure energy. So let's talk about the power of qi. Now, qi is the energy of life that flows. It is the life force within us that animates and directs our spirit and breath. In some of the Eastern religions, they relate to qi as prana, or the breath. Life is in the breath. Life is in the blood. That's where qi is also. It is the active principle of anything alive. That's what qi is. Some call it the force. Remember in Star Wars, created by George Lucas, Luke Skywalker learned how to trust the force. But first, he had to submit to it. Now, that's an important point. Because a lot of people, in their pride and arrogance, do not submit to health. They need to obey the rules. And when they learn to obey the rules of the game that relate to health, they find powerful outcome in terms of health and wellness. Their conduct and character also improves. So you never will be able to beat nature. Nature has already beaten us. We're oxidizing. The radiation from the sun is taking everything down. Gravity has its effect on us. What we need to do is embrace the reality, accept that, understand it. That's what science is all about. It's about investigating truth. And through constant reminder and repetition of exercise and study and research, we come to terms with what we believe to be true. And hopefully what we believe to be true is also the truth. Now, qi is the Chinese word used to describe the natural energy of the universe. This energy is natural, spiritual, metaphysical, and even supernatural. It cannot be measured by any human instrument or seen with the naked eye. But much like atoms and electrons, qi permeates our being and exists all around us. Now, no one has ever seen a quark or a lepton. This is the reduced elements that go beyond the atoms. When's the last time you saw an atom or an electron? But you believe it's there, and scientists actually can use electron microscopes and have a look at things. Like in the past, we didn't even know that bacteria and parasites and microbes and viruses even existed. So you can see how the belief of a nation, of a people, and it ties in with religion and philosophy and pseudoscience, that just because they believe something doesn't make it true. We need something to confirm. It's called evidence. And more evidence now is coming out to confirm that this chi, this life force that animates us, exists. Now, there's two kinds of chi. There's inherent chi. This is the energy we receive from our parents at the time of conception. From that moment on, how we think, how we live, and what we do affects our chi. Chi is energy, and energy is vital to health, healing, and wellness. Now, energy is required for high-level performance, including physical strength, agility, speed, balance, endurance, and power. All athletes, therefore, depend on an even flow, a harmonic balance of chi. What we eat greatly affects our chi. Now, you see, wholesome food that is compatible with our DNA is essential to the maintenance and harmony of chi. And what that means is the ancestral, ancient way of eating. Natural whole food is compatible with our genes. And this new foodless food that people are eating to death, they do not have compatibility. It's like being in a relationship with somebody that causes strife, there's constant tension, you don't get along, and that's exactly what's going on when people eat refined food, like pizza, like fast food, like white flour and white rice and fried food, junk, candy, cakes, cookies, junk out of boxes, plastic, artificial, sterile food. This is not compatible with our DNA, and so it destroys our chi, it hurts our chi, it influences our chi in a very negative way. And when we eat food that's compatible with our DNA, it's, of course, harmonious to our chi. Now, the primary purpose of eating is to transfer energy from the outside world to the trillions of cells within our body, as well as supply approximately 60 essential elements and micronutrients. That's the purpose of food. It's not taste. That comes way down the line. That's the problem people have, is that they use taste first and foremost as their decision-making process. No, you're supposed to analyze food, understand its effect on your body, determine whether it's compatible. It's like going into a relationship again or getting married. You want to make sure that you have compatibility. Failure to do this consistently results in malnutrition. If you don't get what you need from the food you're eating, you're going to suffer with malnutrition, and that equals disease, fatigue, pain, inflammation. Now, DIET is an acronym. This is one that we came up with for discipline in energy transfer. That's what the acronym of DIET is. Now, everyone's on a diet, just like the giraffes here in Honolulu. They're on a specific diet for their species, and ours should be as specific and as sound and as whole. But sadly, few people demonstrate any evidence of discipline when it comes to eating. Now, the giraffes at the zoo don't demonstrate any discipline. They just eat what's given to them. They don't have the power of thought the way humans do, and the ability to choose. They're just given what they have access to, and they'll pretty much eat what they're given. Now, the scientists that put together the diets for these animals have to determine what the giraffe requires. And it's the same thing with us. But what's interesting with humans is because of our unique biochemistry, although we all need selenium or chromium or magnesium, the amounts and the form of that magnesium are what are unique to each individual. So that doesn't make it easier for us to learn how to eat best for us, but it does make it a challenge, and part of life is overcoming challenge and feeling good about the fact that you have overcome that challenge and now you know how to do it better. Now, micronutrients, by the way, include important vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, and these are destroyed by heat, light, and oxygen. So you can take something good and ruin it, and now this will lead to an insufficient micronutrient provision, and this will cause our qi to fade. So consuming dead, sterile, fragmented food reduces the qi within us to a standstill. It's like we're frozen in time. We lose our qi, or we lose touch with our qi. And also, I want to say that overeating causes our qi to choke. If you look at any animal, like a dog, for example, they're known to overeat to the point of death. And that's what bulimia is named after, the Latin word for canine. So animals will eat to the point of their own destruction, and so will people. And so how do we stop that? By creating balance, blood sugar, training, and achieving victory and mastery in the mind, of course, because a lot of overeating problems are connected to emotions, because food can be a very powerful soother. It's just like, let's start on good quality wholesome food. And if you eat too much oranges, there won't be too much damage. But if you put in, you know, an extra large pizza at nighttime before you go to bed, there's going to be a powerful lot of damage. Now, in a recent interview with strength coach Charles Poliquin, I asked him what he thought of qi. And here's what he said. There is no life without qi. Your lifestyle has a lot to do with your qi. Eat a very poor diet and you will definitely deplete yourself of qi. The choice of food you select and the beverages you drink greatly impact your qi. Watching mindless TV shows will deplete your qi. You must be very wise with your qi. You have to cultivate qi. In Western language, qi is energy. Qi is of paramount importance. Make sure you preserve it. Now, those are some very wise words from our friend Charles. And that makes you think. It makes you take a step back and really come to terms with what qi is. Now, remember, according to ancient tradition and traditional Chinese medicine, qi is a unique and highly evolved dynamic energy present in the human body. It is mystical and mysterious, like life itself, and definitely something more or different than the neuroelectrical chemical energy recognized and defined by Western medicine. And Poliquin goes on to say, he says, there are a lot of theories about what qi is, but regardless of what it is, it is something that does exist. It's not a question of faith, it's a question of evidence. In lab testing and genetics, it is known that the length of telomeres corresponds to qi. Longer telomeres are associated with a lower biological age. Let's think of qi as vitality. So again, he sums it up by connecting qi to physiology and the fact that it is a fact. And when anything is a question of faith, that means it's no longer fact. If you believe in something that you can't prove, verify, or there's no evidence for, at least in modern terms, that's faith. So it doesn't mean that faith doesn't have any value, but hopefully along the line and over time, your faith will be proven out by the reality of evidence. If you say that you're in good shape, get down on the floor and give me 20. Solid push-ups, arms all the way up, body as straight as a board on your toes, and let's see what you can do. You talk a good game, but let's see what you're capable of. That's reality. That's qi. Vitality, which is also another name for qi, is influenced by nutrition and training to a degree that surpasses common understanding. Most people don't get this. If we choose a native, wholesome, alkaline diet rich in micronutrients and energy, the qi, or vibration of that food, will raise the qi within us. That's called qi balance. Now, that's cool, because balance and quality, they're my two most important words. And so qi has everything to do with both. The balance of qi in action is determined by what we eat every day. By choosing refined, dead, sterile, man-made factory food, we support the bottom line of greedy corporations hungry for profit at our expense. And is that something that you want to do? Okay, so at the time, you might want to gratify your sense of craving. But remember that you are helping support a greedy corporation that has lust in its eyes and is only concerned about the bottom line and ultimately is doing no good for the nation of people when it comes to our health. Yes, we are responsible individually for the junk we consume, but part of the responsibility is on the onus of the corporations that make the junk. And if you are involved in doing that, you really have to question what you're doing. And I hope that you're not going to say, well, it's my job or I need the money. Because ultimately, the chi inside of you is going to be influenced principally by the philosophy of your action. Because ultimately, we also have to come to terms with why we do everything that we do. The food we choose to eat is absolutely a matter of life and death, namely our own. But don't worry. The modern medical machine of convention will keep us alive long enough to expend all of our financial resources. That's how it works. They'll keep us vertically ill. We'll get sick. We'll go to a doctor. He'll treat the symptoms with the drugs. It's all going to ruin our chi. We're going to get surgery. That'll ruin our chi. It deflates us. It disempowers us. It robs us of our vital energy. The best way to do it is the hardest way. It's the smartest way. And it's the way that works wonders. And that is what we're talking about here. And that is about getting organized and understanding what chi is and how you influence by your life and your thoughts and your nutrition and training. Now, the other kind of chi, we talked about the inherent chi. There is another kind of chi, and that's the acquired chi. And this is the energy accumulated by the quality of our life. We choose to lead, and the food and air we ingest. It is better to live shorter with more quality of life than longer with less. I think most people would agree with that. But when it actually comes down to it, if you analyze the statistical reality of our national health, we get a different story. Ultimately, people don't agree with that. They would rather live a long time and suffer miserably than do what's right, even knowing that they'll live longer and better. But for some reason, and there's a lot of reasons, emotions, politics, terrible education, we can write books on this stuff. It just appears that people are not coming to terms with what they need to do. And maybe 2010, for some of you out there, is going to be a new season, a new age, a new opportunity for you to make the changes that you need to make to get your act together. It appears that many of us would rather gratify all manner of taste and pleasure without immediate concern and then spend the rest of our lives paying back the debt in the form of degenerative disease, infection, and chronic pain. Obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and cancer are now as common to our modern life experience as feldspar, which happens to be the most common mineral on the planet. And of course, the reason for this alarming trend is obvious. We are not taking enough prescription medication and over-the-counter drugs. Not. Obviously, the opposite of that is true. We're taking too much drugs for symptoms, and we're getting in trouble. In order to absorb and integrate the external universal energy, we must learn to integrate and strengthen the fundamental life force within us, our chi. Optimum health is learning to live and be in harmony with all aspects of our internal world so that we may be in balance and good relationship with all aspects of our external world. The principle of chi ties in beautifully with self-discipline and our ability to predict positive outcome in advance of intelligent action guided by reason and the consciousness of living well. Public health education should provide us with objective, non-biased, evidence-based data to help guide us in our personal journey of self-discovery, especially in nutrition, health, and fitness. But it doesn't. Almost all science today is corrupted by the motive of profit, so very little information gained by actual true science is made available to the public. Much of what is actually discovered by real science is largely ignored, hidden, suppressed, or publicly ridiculed. Most university research is funded by corporate grants or taxpayer funding, carefully manipulated by governments to secure their position and reinforce deceptive and highly misleading national health policies that affect all of us. such as H1N1, these garbage food pyramids, or global warming. Such is the insanity of humanity. When children receive the education they require to live free from disease and stay well without prescription medication, they grow up into beacons of light in a world thirsty for reliable information, direction, and leadership. We are designed by nature to be fit and mentally strong, but what we have today is a massive number of vertically ill adults in extremely poor shape, most of whom are driven by fear and drowning together in a pool of ignorance and social chaos. Misery does indeed love its own company. Role models of ideal and exceptional health are the product of a moral society, quality education, and a strong physical work ethic. They are the mature men and women of age who stand out among the crowd. They are self-directed, independent, lean, highly motivated, purpose-driven, and extremely fit. They are the Spartans of this millennium. When medically examined, they are free of pathology, function with extremely high vitality, and embrace the concept of change and biological age with open arms. They are one with their chi. Now, I'm going to close with some powerful words. Courage is the essence of chi. Courage is the state or quality of mind that enables us to face danger, overcome fear, and not fold under pressure with confidence and bravery. Bravery, my friends, bravery is what we need. We need to be brave souls filled with courage. Without courage, we cannot apply wisdom, stand for justice, or reveal temperance. Here, in essence, courage and chi are one, and courage is what it's all about. Be courageous. Do what's right. Do what you know is true. Get involved. Stand up. Honor is the backbone of chi. Now, honor is a code of dignity and pride. Honor is associated with a good name, respect, and a reputation for uprightness of character. The most difficult thing in the world for a man of honor to do is demonstrate none. The hardest thing for a good man to do is be bad. And the easiest thing for a good man to do is be good. The easiest thing in the world for a kind man is to be kind. So when people are naturally kind, it just flows from inside of them. And finally, integrity is the strength of chi. Integrity is a relationship of unity between what we say and what we do. It is reliability and moral soundness. Integrity is the state of being unimpaired and whole. You show up because you said you would. You speak the truth because the truth is in you. You consume whole food, train consistently, and take dietary supplements because it's the right thing to do, and you do it with joy and enthusiasm. So keep your chi close. Remember, C is for courage, H is for honor, and I is for integrity. And always keep this in mind, that chi is the essence of your life. Be kind to your chi and be kind to the chi that we need and require and must obey and understand. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. Here's a quote from Chinese philosopher Zhang Zi. There is one chi that connects and pervades everything in the world. When it accumulates, there is life. When it dissipates, there is death.